Boise.
HD3 Detroit.
KJAQ.
HD3 Seattle.
WBMX.
HD3 Boston. And on AOL Radio
and
Yahoo Launchcast.
Delightful to talk to you. Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul with Tracy McBurney and Laurie Houston. Tracy is with us today, and we're going to re-air the show on Friday the 13th because, I don't know, it just feels like the day to do it. But that's a regular show, so I'm going to take a little bit of a break on Friday. But Tracy's still going to be here. You're just not going to be able to call in. But if you have questions, we are definitely going to take some callers today. You can call us at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. Or you can send us a message on instant feedback. Just be really clear about what you're wanting. So apparently, okay, so
we went from having what are we going to talk about to all of these different
things. We have so much to talk about. We now have so much to talk about, but I didn't know because I rarely listen to the news, and right now my bus doesn't have a radio, but we had a tsunami.
No, not a tsunami.
Oh, sorry, an earthquake.
Two earthquakes. Well, actually, one earthquake and a big aftershock in Indonesia this morning.
And it was similar to their tsunami. They thought they were going to have a tsunami because of how big it was.
Yes.
And they didn't.
And the warnings went out. So the thing that I found very interesting, because I finally heard about maybe 10 o'clock this morning here in Toronto, I heard that they had rescinded the two tsunami warnings for that area. And I thought, and then I heard what they proposed was the reason why no tsunami wave hit. And it had to do with what was going on at the ocean bottom and how the plates had moved. Now, of course, not really getting it because I was driving in the car at the time, so I can't remember whether the plates moved vertically this time and not horizontally or vice versa, but these plates moved in the opposite direction than they moved several years ago when that tsunami hit. And they are figuring that's exactly the reason for why no tsunami came after the earthquake. So I remember hearing this morning in the car, and I thought to myself, grace, grace. That is grace. That is a state of grace that we, that humanity, just created. It didn't sound to me like there had been a lot of casualties. It didn't sound to me like there had been a lot of damage that had occurred. But even at that, no deaths that were really reported, but no tsunami.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, wow. And then I thought of Greg Braden, and then I thought of everything that he was talking about when he was telling us about the program that has been brought forward, this heart convergence program that you can get involved in, and you can access his website to do so.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And so it's Greg with two G's, Braden, Braden.com. And you can find out everything you want about it. It's a free thing to join, and it really is about joining into these worldwide meditations that open people's hearts, that really just say, I'm going to take this 15 or 20 minutes and I'm going to join forces with hundreds or perhaps thousands of people around the world to do this heart-opening meditation with the premise and the understanding that when we do that in groups of two or more, and obviously more is more, then we can affect the magnetic field of the planet Earth. We can affect what is going on at this time on our planet. And therefore, I fully and absolutely believe we can, through that exercise, create states of grace, like the one that we just experienced today.
Hmm.
I see that as a state of grace. Nobody will ever be able to prove that that is right or that is not right.
Right.
But for me, in my mind and in my heart, I sit there today and I say, wow, I think we as humanity did something positive to affect a positive result as the earth shifts and changes herself the way that she needs to at this time, as she detoxifies the things that need to be detoxified and rearranges herself and restructures herself, just like we all are being restructured because she's an entity just like we are. We saw evidence that this was done in a more graceful way.
Mm-hmm.
With less destruction, less devastation, less death, all of that. And I just went, wow, wow.
Yeah.
I think today we got something right. And then I didn't know who participated in, I don't know if there was a heart meditation that that group did last night. I have no idea whether they did one at 8 o'clock this morning, 7 o'clock last night, 3 days earlier. I don't know. But I do know that the scientists know that we do affect these fields, these magnetic fields of our Earth, with our heart. And so I just thought that was kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. That there are enough people out there, whether they're doing it through him or just themselves, that there are enough people that are focusing on, you know, their inner balance. Even though we go through turmoil, things happen to us. But the more we focus on us trying to be balanced, trying to ride that wave instead of resisting the wave.
Yeah, but I think the piece, like, really, again, I don't consider myself to be a religious person, nor do, you know, and I'll probably quote this inaccurately, but I believe what Jesus was quoted as saying, some facsimile thereof, come together as more than one. And I will be there. In other words, the energy of the love that I descend through me and my consciousness will be there. And I thought it's a very interesting thought. Come together as more than one. In other words, recognize your need and desire to connect and do that. Connect, network, connect. And there will be more power in the two, the three, the four, the ten, the thousand, than there is in just the one. Mm. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I also remember Greg Braden saying for the last couple of years in the lectures that I've been at that he talks about the fractal time patterns of what we're going through, the 5,125-year cycle that is coming to an end at the end of this year, the 26,000-year cycle that's also coming to the end this year. I mean, oh, my God, lots of stuff coming to an end this year. And he talked about the fact that he felt that 5,125 years ago, we didn't get something. Mm-hmm. We went through that time of change, and we didn't get something. Like, we need to understand and get something now that we didn't get then. And he wasn't sure what that was. Like, he didn't know. He didn't have a name for it. But that niggled at me. I heard him say that three or four times in the last couple of years. And so I kept just kind of, it was kind of like a dog with a bone. And I think now I'm thinking that the thing that we didn't get 5,125 years ago was that we could go through this big change, but we could allow grace to be a part of it. And maybe we didn't have a consciousness level 5,125 years ago to be able to accept that that state of grace, that beautiful divine light could be a part of this transition. And I think we've seen inklings of that. We've seen tastes of that, that would allow our consciousness to kind of look and go, whoa, what was that? What happened there? You know, Sully Sullenberg flying that plane, beautifully landing that plane into the river, into the Hudson River, that the miners, every single one of them coming out from the depths of that hole, pretty much unscathed and alive. And I'm looking and going, wow, those were two things that the world watched, that they literally, you know, found their eyes fixed on and were astounded at the outcome. And I do think those were two very obvious examples of the grace, the light, the divine mercy that could be descending upon us at this time, and that we could choose. And that we could choose. That we didn't have to go through this time of coming out of the darkness and into the light, in this time of changing of our consciousness. We didn't need to do this and go through hell. We didn't need to go through hell to get to the other side of this. Like, we could make it more heaven-like, mm-hmm. and come to the other side of it. We didn't have to make it such a struggle that we are creators of this. Each one of us is a creator and a participant in what is happening and how it is happening and how it is being created. That is a very cool thing to think. Whether you are participating by playing the victim, you are still participating. Whether you are participating by really being the activist, you are participating. Whether you are participating by literally holding your spear of fear and saying, this is the way it's going to be, or whether you are participating and standing there quietly and saying, I choose grace. I choose grace. Divine beyond myself, divine within myself, I choose grace. I choose light to get me through this. I choose love to get me through this. I choose those frequencies. I get that we're on a path right now that we can't stop. You can't stop the planet Earth from doing what it's going to do, which is continue its cycle around the Milky Way. We can't stop it. We can't just say, you know what? We've had enough. You know, we've had enough. This is just too much. Like, really, at the end of the day, another earthquake that large? No. We're getting off.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and we can't. But we can recognize ourselves as creators. We can recognize that we are participating in how this is being created. And we can choose to create this with grace. We can choose to recognize that Sully Sullenberg, that the miners that delivered to us that message, we can choose to accept that message and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for participating in that way today. I am going to accept what your experience delivered to me, an option for grace. And I'm going to grab onto that, and I'm going to ask for that every day. And I'm going to go to bed every night asking that grace descend and find its way and sprinkle its way all over everything that is going to go on in my life tomorrow, because there are circumstances that I must go through. There are circumstances that every one of us must grow through. But I choose a kinder way. I choose a nicer way. I choose to feel absolutely cared for and honored and taken care of through all of the things that I must go through, that we must all go through to come to the other side of this. I choose that. I choose grace.
Yeah. Because it's true, whether it's a tsunami outside of us that we're seeing, or whether it's, you know, the things that happen to us that just happen, not to us, but happen, and how we choose to respond to those things that happen, can we see it in a way that is not so painful?
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, it's just kind of, do you choose to go through hell to come to the other side of this experience, or do you choose to go through heaven? Right? You're going to choose a nicer path to learn, to grow, right? It's all about learning and growing and enlightenment, right? It's like, sure, you're going to get enlightened by walking that path into that darkness. You're going to be absolutely enlightened by walking that path. But, okay, do I need to do that?
Right.
Do I need to achieve the goal of enlightenment and the growth that I'm looking for by walking that way where I'm blind to see anything that's in front of me, where I just don't get the clues easily, where everything just seems, it seems every step of that way I feel so lost and unsupported?
Yeah.
Well, it's a choice.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to go to our first break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul. Do I say Intuitive Soul in France? I guess it will be on Friday with Tracy McBurney. Tracy can be found on the internet at tracymcburney.com. Tracy without an E and McBurney, well, with an E, but mcburney.com. And Laura Houston with Intuitive Soul on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul, Intuitive Soul with Friends, with Tracy McBurney and Lori Houston. And we're sort of talking, well, we're just talking about different things that are going on. So it will change probably.
We're having fun in the breaks.
We are, aren't we? We were just about to talk about possibly Mars and how it's been affecting people, which we may still talk about. But we do have a caller, and it is Calvin from California. So how can we help you, Calvin?
Hello, hi, how are you doing this morning?
Good.
I had a question about friendships, about one friend, and then friends in general, about, like, what can you read on this one person, and then what do you read about just friends in general?
Okay, we're not actually doing readings here, but Tracy can assist you. We can look at it from an energetic perspective of what's going on with you. So,
okay, hard for me to understand what he's just said.
Okay.
So he's asking about a friend?
Yeah, just are you specifically wanting to know about one friend, or are you wanting to move into a relationship?
I wanted to know about one friend, and then I was just saying, what do you see about any good friends coming my way anytime soon? That's basically
okay. So let's look at, you know, maybe what the energy around a friendship and moving into becoming more romantic, because Calvin's called a few times where he's wanting to get into a relationship. You're at school, right?
Yeah, but I didn't say about getting into a relationship. I'm saying for friendship. I never said a relationship because I don't got time for one.
All right. So you're having problems creating friendships, and he's in school, which it's kind of the energy that he's feeling, that he's not connecting with people.
Okay, Calvin, is that correct?
Kind of. It's kind of off because I was talking about, it just wasn't have a problem creating friends. I'm saying, what do you feel about, you know what I mean, friends coming my way, the good energy, or then the one friend I had a question about was my friend named Brian. What energy do you have to feel from that? You know, people don't show they care as long as they're in the hospital. That's when people start showing they care. Otherwise, you don't know. That's the way I feel sometimes.
It's really hard for me to hear.
I was having problems with the last part of that conversation too, Calvin.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you. Just when you talk really quickly, that your accent's kind of...
You know what? It has something to do maybe with how close your mouth is to whatever this is that you're speaking into.
Yeah, maybe.
Because it's just getting so...
Distorted. So just
repeat.
Well,
what you said was, I'm trying to see, what do you read from friends in general, and then what do you read about my friend named Brian? Because, you know, people don't show they're your friends unless you're in the hospital. Or you're not supposed... But that's the way I feel sometimes.
So there's some fears around creating a connection with friends.
Do you understand that? Like, I'm speaking loud enough, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's better now.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, I got to tell you, I sound like a broken record if you listened to the show last month. I can't help you with this. I need to clear at least one level of denial from you. In other words, you're really interested in staying in some sort of an illusionary state around this. So I can't deliver to you the information that I would really like to deliver to you, because I really connect into your divine to do that. And you are staying in some level of denial that's not allowing for that connection to happen, right? So that's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to assume, since you called, that you're giving your permission for that to happen. And so I am asking your divine to clear all levels and layers of denial that might be operating here that would be interfering with your capacity to be able to even answer your own question here, because you're looking to me to do that. And I really feel like if we can get you a little clearer, those answers will come. First of all, you are creator of your life. So if you are seeing these struggles around friendship, then you clearly have some subconscious operating systems around friendship that have come in through family background, perhaps, or from previous experiences that are interfering with your capacity to see the results that you're looking for. You're looking to see that these people called friends really care for me, and you're not seeing that. and you're not trusting that that's actually, and you're skeptical about that, and you're not seeing that. And it's because on some level, you do not believe that that is an option available for you to be cared for by someone else. And so I am going to ask on your behalf that that be cleared for you, that your divine descend into that pain and into that time in your life, and perhaps into the time of life of someone other than you, who literally created this pattern and brought it forward and delivered it into your DNA. For this is not just about the healing of you, it's about the healing of every single person in your family lineage that continues to believe that about friends, that continues to believe that about relationships, that people don't really care for you and not authentically care for you. And so I am asking that divine, that light within you, that light beyond you, to descend into your family, into your whole entire family, both father and mother side of this family, into every single person's field that participated in this idea that you are not cared for. Because this has not been operating in a conscious level, but it's been operating at a subconscious level, and that's why you've been seeing this. So I am asking further that all blocks, reversals, resistances, interferences of any kind, any obstacles or boulders in the way at all, any overriding decisions, beliefs, or patterns that would not allow for this change to be done, be removed from you as is safe and appropriate and highest and best interest. And I thank you, Calvin, for the call. Nice energy shift, my friend. I hope you start to see something different showing up in front of you around friends.
Okay.
A little bit still there, Calvin, or did I scare you away?
He's still there.
I can kind of hear you, but you're not answering.
Okay.
He may actually be feeling energetic shifts as things are going on.
Right.
Because that was actually more than just giving him information. There was healing that was delivered there.
Yeah.
So best of luck to you, Calvin.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm not sure whether you're wanting to look at this. This is an interesting question, but I'm not sure if it's necessary. Well, we've talked about what kind of the... She wants to know what the theme of the year 2012 is about regarding spiritual and personal growth and abundance. And I know we're going to talk about money, but this is Rachel that's
asking.
The
theme of 2012 with regard to spiritual growth, abundance. To me, it's almost like when I speak to people about it, and I don't consider myself to be a guru about this at all, I see 2012 as being an absolute continuation and up-amping of 2011. And the thing that I always said about 2011 is this is a giant restructuring year. It is a huge restructuring year. So to me, 2012 is an ongoing process of restructuring of the things that were not completed, that were not made available in 2011, that were still left in places of denial. And I think that's why I'm so big on talking about denial this year. It's almost like this is something that you can't deny anymore, this thing called denial, because regardless of whether you want this to happen or you don't want this to happen, these places inside of you that you have carried this pain, they are being reached or they will be reached shortly by all of the light that is descending upon us, and by how much easier it is for all of us to connect to that divine within ourselves. So that's what I feel, is that 2012 is just an up-amping, just a way more powerful surge of energy coming at us that is designed to restructure that which is not working, restructuring that which is not, that is keeping us in denial of who we are and a knowing of the light within ourselves. And that's what I see. It's just like I don't know how to describe it any better than that. And that's what I'm seeing. And it's becoming easier to do, much easier to do, and much easier to access those parts of us, as per our conversation last month about the nine chambers of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are now knowing about the nine chambers of the heart. We're now knowing about those five chambers that we store a bunch of crap in that, you know, has traveled with us at soul level from one lifetime to the next. And so, you know, it's really nice for our consciousness to get wind of that, to know that that's a place that we can target, that these places within our chakras, these hidden passages, are also storing that same information. I mean, you know, it's just, it amazes me in my office how much easier it is to not only get through to people, but how much easier it is to, you know, do the kind of work, transformational work that people, you know, that come in to offices like mine really want to do and are desiring to do.
Yeah.
And how much easier it is that that work holds, you know, and that they can continue to walk their path in a bit of a different way. Yeah. So I hope that's enough of an answer for you. That's, you know, the words restructuring, restructuring squared, restructuring on hyperspeed.
Yes. Well, it's like we're really actually being able to do some of the work that we just didn't even know we needed to do.
Yes.
Like we're really being
We're coming
shown.
Out in denial.
Yeah. We're being shown all the light shows us all those little bits of us that we're still holding on to.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's also, she's asking about abundance, and a lot of people will target abundance to prosperity. And we were talking about this before we started this radio program. And, you know, I don't know. I just think that people are getting, are doing some really curious things around money. And for, you know, for reasons that I believe some are subconscious and others not. And of course, because of what's going on in the climate of the recession, the never ending recession. but you know, it's looking and going, wow, you know what? I think some people really are sitting there with this unconscious idea that the world, that something, if it's not the world, something is coming to an end at the end of 2012. Something is ending. And so as they're looking at that and really just kind of going, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means to me. I don't know what that means to my family. But it's like, you know what? Something's coming to an end. And wow. And we don't really know what's coming after that. So I think people are doing some interesting things. They're really just looking at, more than maybe they ever have, what's important to me.
Right. We're going to actually take a break. And we're going to hold that thought. And when we come back, we will talk more about that, because that's a good place to sort of enter into a much bigger conversation.
Okay.
All right. So you're listening to Intuitive Soul and Intuitive Soul with Friends with Tracy McBurney and Lori Houston. Tracy can be found on the internet at TracyMcBurney.com. So Tracy without an E and McBurney, MCBurney.com. You're listening to on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Hi, I'm Neil deGrasse Tyson, astrophysicist and host of Star Talk Radio. Join me every week where I have celebrity guests, experts, and comedic co-hosts, where our task is to bring the universe down to Earth.
the life you've imagined. Look up to the sky.
This is Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL.
Myself, threadbare gypsy soul.
CBS Radio's The New Sky. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. This is Lori Houston from Intuitive Soul, and we are here with Tracy McBurney. Now, Tracy is usually with us every second Friday. This is going to change over the summer.
No, the second week of the month on a Friday. Not every second Friday.
Oh, yes. That is exactly what I meant. The second Friday of the month.
Did I miss something?
And, well, yeah. However, there's going to be some... There's going to be some overlap in different times because she's got some schooling.
Because I'm screwing you up and I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
But I'm teaching my favorite class.
So. Oh, well, as long as it's your favorite class. But she will be here. Whether we re-air it or we have it on a different time, we'll try and keep those dates up on the schedule. So bear with us and check each month to make sure we know when she's going to be on. All right. So Tracy can be found on the internet at TracyMcBurney.com. And, well, our last message, we sort of got into something that was going to take us into a much deeper conversation, and it was about abundance.
And prosperity.
And prosperity,
right? Because
yes.
A lot of people just tag abundance with prosperity.
Yes, so, well, you know why? Because everybody tells us that our definition of money is wrong, so we stop calling it money, and we don't want to call it financial, so we've called it abundance because it doesn't have as negative a connotation.
Oh, is this like our government doing away with the penny?
Don't
get me started.
Are we doing away with the penny?
Oh, I do. Lori, do you not watch any news?
Oh, I don't.
Oh, my goodness. Like, I do have to fill you on a couple of things, and I'm not a big news watcher. Yes, our government is doing away with the penny. And I'm sitting there going, how? How can this happen? I'm sitting there wondering, we are an interesting race, us Canadians, because you get this messaging that our government is doing away with the penny. Now, the old adage, take care of the pennies, and the dollars take care of themselves. We're wiping out the penny. I'm going, oh, my God. Okay, but that's not the bigger issue for me. Our government didn't turn around at a federal level and say, you know what, we're going to drop that HST tax from 13% down to 10%, because doesn't that seem ludicrous to have a 13% tax when we're doing away with the penny?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I literally spent the last week and a half since I've heard about this. I spent the last week and a half calculating how many pennies I was going to lose to store owners and people that, yes, I'd like to support you, but really, and how many pennies I'm going to gain from those store owners,
right?
And wherever it is that I'm spending my money. And I will tell you, I am losing a lot more pennies than I am gaining. And those pennies are going to add up. And they're going into somebody else's pocket, not mine. And that is a huge issue for me. Anyway, it does bring me to the topic of the prosperity piece. Because what I actually think is happening in 2012, and this is what I'm seeing, is that although people don't have the solutions, nor do I, for what it is that they're going to do about their money, they're getting clearer about what they're not going to do with their money. They're getting clearer about what they're no longer going to tolerate when it comes to spending their money. They're getting clear about how upset they're getting about bank fees, the outrageousness of bank fees being placed everywhere. I mean, I'm just speaking not just for me, but for other people that, because, you know, you talk about these things and then people go, yeah, I feel the same way. Yeah, you know. And then
how Bell Canada is giving us a $2 fee if to get a paper bill.
You know what? Outrageous thought,
isn't
right?
It?
Outrageous thought. I literally said to, and I will not name the bank, but I literally said to one of these five big banks, that is my bank, I literally said to them, you are what? You are going to charge me a $2 fee to give me a paper statement that you gave me for free for years. And you're saying that you're doing this, that you want me to have an email statement that I'm going to pay to print out. And that I'm going to use my ink to print out.
Right.
But you're doing this because you care so much about the environment. And I'm going, if you cared so much about the environment and we're not structuring this to take more money out of my pocket, you would give me, you would do something that would say, no, Tracy, we're not going to charge you an additional $2 for your paper statement that you've always had, but maybe we're going to give some benefit to the people that are not requiring that. But we're not charging you an extra fee for this, and you're not going to see it on your bank statement. Maybe you're going to see a minus. Wouldn't that be interesting if you saw a minus on your bank statement because you chose to not have a paper statement? We've taken a dollar off your fee. Yeah. Well, it's a psychological piece. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I do believe that people are getting a little clearer about where they want to spend their money and how much money they're spending on certain things. And I mean, we were talking before we even started today, and one of the decisions that my husband and I made just around the end of the restructuring year of 2011, coming into 2012, they did another pay increase at Starbucks. It was a 10-cent increase on the coffee that had just come on the hind of a tax increase. And so two cups of Americano coffee went up by, I don't know what it was, 13 or 14 cents or 15 cents in a span of a couple of weeks.
Right.
And I just looked at this and I looked at my husband and I said, okay, that's it. I've just come out of denial. This is ridiculous. I like an espresso coffee, but this is a ridiculous amount of money to spend every day for us to have the pleasure of an espresso cup of coffee that we both really like. Let's go out and see what it costs to buy one of these machines. So we went out and looked, and we actually got a $50 rebate deal from Home Outfitters and paid for a Krups 5950. Anybody wishes the same model, because we really liked it. It's last year's Krups model, not this year's Krups model. And for $249, we actually purchased an espresso machine. And I will tell you, it was one of the two best purchases that we made from the end of 2011 to 2012. And the other one was a small chest freezer so that we could freeze some more things and pull them in from Costco, like pull them in from these places and buy them in bigger bulk, cryopack them, which is the other good investment we made a couple of years ago, which is a cryopacker to actually break some of these things into bite-sized pieces because we're only a family of three. And we decided we were going to put $5 into this little Mexican jar that we put up on the shelf. $5 every day, because that was actually less money than we were spending at Starbucks, but it was easier than dealing with the dimes and pennies, which we were still using. And we put the $5 in the jar every day, and within a month and a half, we paid off the coffee machine.
Wow.
And now we are now up at $160-some-odd, and we took some of it away. We emptied it again and went away to Cuba, and that was spending money to get ourselves out of Cuba, because you have to pay to get out of Cuba.
Oh,
so
yeah,
we
right.
used that money to get out of Cuba, and we started to save again. And now we're at $160. Remember, this is $5 a day. We're at $160, and we're moving up the scale, and the next thing we want to save for is the $499 40-inch screen television for the basement. And we have an espresso coffee every day.
Right.
But we don't go out every day to go get it. Mm. You know what the more interesting thing was? And I was shocked to find out that some other people had discovered the same thing, because I thought it was only me. I thought this was only happening to me. I thought it had everything to do with my lack of discipline or something around spending. But it's not. When you stop the habit of actually reaching into your wallet and spending money on things like this, it's almost like, I don't have an explanation for it, but it's like it opens up some giant tube that you just get sucked in for the day. And you look around and you go, where's all the money in my pocket? Where'd it all go? I started the day by forking out whatever that was, the $3 or $4 or $5 for the coffee or the specialty coffee at McDonald's, because now they're getting into the mix, Tim Hortons, whatever it is, I don't care. And then somehow or other, that action starts a process that doesn't stop all day. And I don't have an explanation for it, but now other people are saying, you know what? I did find that. When I stopped that habit, I had the same $30 in my pocket at the end of the week that I had at the beginning of the week. And I looked and I went, me too. Me too. I'm sitting here right now with $30 in my pocket and whatever change, because by the way, I always walk around with change in my pocket because it creates money. That's what the Tibetans say. They talk about the different metals.
Right.
And of course, this is a nice metal, these pennies. They talk about the different metals and how they literally react against each other when they're sitting in proximity with each other, and they get agitated. The metals actually get agitated with each other, and that creates a certain frequency that apparently is supposed to generate. It's almost like a magnetic field for generating money. I can tell you, since I adopted that practice of literally making sure that I kept a small amount of coin in my pocket every day, and not the same coins, different coins, meaning different metals, that has actually had a positive result. So this is another reason why I don't like the fact that they're taking the penny out of the mix. Right. Because it was a different metal.
That's so strange.
Yeah. So
when is that happening?
We should go to break, but
I just can't believe it. All right, we're going to go to break. If you do have a question,
the things that I enlighten you about.
I know, this is crazy. We could probably take one caller. 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. We're talking with Tracy McBurney. It's been a very interesting day. We started with Tsunami and Grace. We've moved to not having a penny. On
what
Sky
are we going to do to take care of the dollars?
I know. Powered by CBS. We'll be right back.
Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
Discover your spirit. Listen to Spirit Guide Radio, where leading spiritual experts serve as guides to nourish your soul every weeknight from 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Heidi Hollis, The Outlander, The Zodiac Girls with Solaris, Laura, and Kira. Ask Dr. Doug with Dr. Doug Lehrer. Life by Number with Celeste, Laura Lee's Spirit Salon, and Your Reiki Journey with Heidi Harrison. Spiritually speaking, radio for the soul. Spirit Guide Radio on New Sky Radio. New horizons, no boundaries.
Oh,
Psychic Radio is now CBS Radio's The Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul with Lori Houston.
248-545-SOUL. 248-545-7685. NewSkyRadio.com.
Welcome back. You are talking with Lori Houston from Intuitive Soul and Tracy McBurney from TracyMcBurney.com. Tracy is spelt without an E, so TracyMcBurney.com. And we've been talking about abundance, prosperity, money.
And the interesting things that are going on in our country around money.
Yes.
And going on in our consciousness around money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, I just, I won't belabor the point, but I just thought it was really, really interesting that somehow or other, the moment that you open your pocket to purchase these kinds of things, and I don't know if it's anything, right? I don't know it, but I know that it's almost like I don't feel addicted. I feel like I got off some sort of a treadmill. I don't feel addicted to just go into my wallet and pull out money. Like just, you know, okay, here. Okay, here. Okay, here. Yeah, I'll buy that now. I'll buy that now. It's almost like, wow, I took a breather from the I'll buy that. And it was fascinating. And I think that there's just a wave. There's an I'll buy that wave. And it's like the moment you get on it, it's hard to get off it for the whole day. Mm. And I just think that that's fascinating. It's like there's a consumerism wave. And, yeah, anyway, I'm going to have to go into meditation about it. Okay. So, but it's really a consumerism wave.
A consumerism wave.
Okay. So here's the other piece. So this is the other thing that I'm noticing because I'm really looking at money, right? I'm looking at this whole restructuring thing. So I'm like a lot of other people. I'm getting clear about what I don't want to do around things like investing, getting clear about what's not working for me around investing.
Right.
But not having much clarity as to, well, what do I do instead? Okay. In other words, the thing that I'm seeing in front of my eyeballs is I'm doing pretty well at growing money in my business. Okay. That doesn't seem to be an issue. I'm doing very well growing money in that Mexican glass every day, throwing money in every day. My husband puts in $15 in the beginning of the week. I put in $25. That's $40 for the week. That's the money we would have spent at Starbucks getting coffee every day. And we are just doing that. And we are growing money. And we're growing money for our vacation. We're growing money to buy the things that we really would like that would really just change something like that wonderful freezer. But as far as my investments, no. Like I go back, I think it must have been, I said 17 years when I was talking about it, but you know what? It's got to be more like 20. It's got to be more like 20 because it was the inheritance that came through the death of my grandparents. So it has to be closer to that. And I decided I was going to take $30,000 of that inheritance money and I was going to do the responsible thing and put it into RRSP contributions. And so I did the responsible thing. So now fast forward, whether that's 17, 18, 19, or 20 years later, fast forward. I look at that. $30,000 was supposed to grow. It was supposed to grow. It was not supposed to decline, and it wasn't supposed to stay the same. It was supposed to grow. What's the point of locking your money somewhere? I could have put it under my mattress for the last 20 years. It has not grown. My $30,000 investment from almost 20 years ago, and if it's not 20, then really the truth is it's 17. It's sitting at $29,833 and something pittance of cents, which they're going to round up or down a year from now. And I'm going to lose more money. And I'm sitting there going, I could have made more money locking this in an ING account or a rolling over 6 months GIC rather than invested in these things that are mutual funds and bond funds and the things that are supposed to make me a better return.
Right.
The fact is they made me a better return for X amount of time. And then they lost me a lot of money at 2008. And yes, they have recovered, but that's all they've done. they've recovered. So I've recovered the losses from 2008. Okay.
Great.
Great. So that's nice. I've recovered the losses. But when I look at the larger scale, I am no better off at all after 17 years of putting money in this place, of the places that I'm supposed to be putting money into. This is supposed to be the avenues available to me that, by the way, our government applauds and says, do more of that. Mm. And those are the things that it says are qualified RRSPs that we will give the hand grand salute to. And I'm going, I'm almost 50 years old. How is any of this investing in this way going to aid me into the future? I don't have any great idea, grandiose idea of some 18% return on investment in this climate, 17%, 12%. Really, I'd be happy with 5. Mm-hmm. I'd be happy with a couple of percentage points above the ING of 1.9. But at this point, I would have been happy with the 1.9. I guess what I would like to say is I am creator of this reality. I take responsibility for this. I may know how to grow money in my office, potentially, and I certainly know how to grow money in that little, not so little, Mexican blue Thanks. Goblet that we have collecting those $40 payments. I can grow money. But somehow or other, the creator of me participating in this experience does not know how to grow money through investing. I don't know how to invest in a way that grows money. And the people that I have been turning to clearly do not know how to do that over this 17-year cycle. And I have been attracting myself to that.
Yeah.
So I don't have answers for that, but I really know that the answers, I don't think, are what my parents' answers were or my grandparents' answers were, and I don't know what those answers are now. But I'm really looking. I'm really looking for those not so risky investments that take me out of what would be considered the norm and deliver to me a potential. And I'm absolutely open to clearing whatever needs to be cleared in me so that I can become the investor, the creator that knows how to make savvy investments that actually grow even in this climate. So if anybody's got any ideas,
Tracy, find her on the web. All right. Well, this will be a stay tuned and we'll get more information to you. But it's been great as always, Trace. And you can find out more information about Tracy by going to her website, tracymcburney.com. Again, Tracy without an E and mcburney.com. May love and grace be your guides to creating the life you desire. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.